Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings full year 2016 and first quarter 2017 financial results call. Following an overview of FBN Holdings management team, an interactive Q&A session will be available. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. U.K. Akay, Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and good morning. Welcome to the FBN Holdings full year ended at the 4th December 2016 and first quarter ended at 1st March 2017 investor and analyst presentation. Again, my name is U.K. Akay, the Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Now, this call with me, I have Dr. Shola Adeleta, the Managing Director, FBN Nigeria Limited, FBN Limited and its subsidiaries. I also have the CFO of the Commercial Bank, Patrick Iyamabo. And joining me also is Segun Alebiosun, the Chief Risk Officer at the Commercial Bank. Finally, I have Wale Ariyiri, who is the CFO at the holding company. I know you've taken time to look through the presentation which we posted today earlier this morning, so I'll just go quickly to slide five, and then I'll walk you through the slides and then open it up for Q&A. Slide five essentially highlights the impact of the challenging operating environment over a two-year period, with inflation hitting as high as 18.6% during 2016 Q4. And we also will see on that slide crude oil production volumes, which we'll see were largely undulating. We saw yields also on investment securities increase and at the same time shorten out the private sector. And the story of the currency, the Nigerian currency, is quite well known to us. We saw effective devaluation in 2016. Moving on to slide six, I think the major points to note there is the very recent revision by FENCOM, the regulator of the pension industry, the investment guidelines, which effectively permit PFAs to invest in equities of bank holding companies. Certainly, FBN Holdings stands to gain from this revised guideline. Slide seven speaks to the strong earnings we recorded in the face of challenging operating environment. Despite the headwinds and uncertainties, I'm pleased to report our strong earnings as shown on slide seven. First, we achieved 15.7% year-on-year growth in gross earnings, even on a very high base. And for the record, 582 billion naira was the highest by any Nigerian banking group. We also saw a very strong pre-provision operating profit of 248.9 billion, which again was the highest in the industry for 2016. 13.7% growth in total assets and increasing balance sheet strength as we deal with the legacy assets, which we reported last year. Moving on to slide eight, we have highlighted the key ratios that should interest us. We're happy to report very strong improvement in the cost-to-income ratio, 47% even in the face of very high inflation regime, 47% versus 61% corresponding period of 2015. Liquidity ratios have remained very high, above 50%, and cost of funds at 2.8%, obviously the lowest in the market as at the end of the year, though we saw a slight increase in first quarter of 2017. For CAR, the commercial bank recorded 17.8% capital adequacy ratio at year end. That improved slightly to 18.1%. I'm also glad to report that the merchant bank also continues to post very strong CAR, closing at 24% at the end of 2016. Now, the three ratios of NPL and cost of risk remain elevated, and I'm sure there will be lots of questions in this area. But suffice it to say that we are happy with the steps we've taken so far to manage formation of fresh NPLs. We will speak to the loan book in the course of this presentation. Slide 9 reflects the beauty of the holding company model that we chose to run in 2011. You will see that the investment portfolio is quite well diversified across the commercial bank, merchant bank, and insurance. And we have sustained over the period dividend payments to shareholders through strong showings of these non-commercial bank subsidiaries. Today, our life subsidiary is the fastest growing insurance company in the market, achieving 70% growth year-on-year in the gross written premium line. Of course, our merchant bank and asset management subsidiary remains market leader in many respects. I will go straight to slide 15. And again, we have tried to demonstrate the very strong and well-diversified funding base of the group underpinning our retail bank credentials. You will see from that slide, I think it's the very first bar chart to your left. You will see the funding base. About 75% of funding comes through customers' deposits and equity. Indeed, 72% of customers' deposits is in current accounts and savings accounts. So that explains the very low cost of funds at 2.8% at year-end. Now, before we go to Q&A, I want to quickly run us through certain parts on slide 24. Here we have articulated what we see, or have chosen to call simplified pathway to value creation. There are four critical levers. One, delivering structural changes in the risk-taking culture. Clearly, we have institutionalized a new credit culture from customer selection, underwriting, all the way to recovery. We've also revamped the risk management governance architecture and also made key appointments. I had earlier introduced Shegu Alebiosu, who is the new CRO, and we're happy to have him on board. The second critical pillar is our sustained effort at improving the costs and capital efficiency ratios. We've achieved cost reduction both in absolute terms and also in percentage terms, even in the face of high inflation. As I indicated earlier, cost to income ratio at 47% is quite respectable for a bank our size. And we have also undertaken a wholesale change in people, processes, policies and technology. And I've also gone ahead to integrate shared services just to eliminate costs and centralize our operations. We saw modest balance sheet growth, and however, we also saw enhanced treasury activities with the loss of income during 2016. The fourth pillar speaks to enhancing revenue growth across the organization, and this includes our efforts at building collaboration and synergy across the operating entities. We are very resolute in executing our strategies, and we believe that the increase we are seeing in our market share from customer deposits to other lines where we have increased market share will be sustained into the future. We also have sustained our effort at creating these two competencies to enhance revenue and service delivery. Specifically, you will see what we have achieved with respect to our USSD, and we have recorded to date over 1 million users, which is the fastest growing USSD service in the industry today. We are the only bank that have also recorded over 100 million monthly mobile transactions. Currently, we are achieving 110 million. And we've also strengthened our infrastructure to drive efficiencies across all areas of business. As a matter of fact, the point has to be made that we have achieved about 77% year-on-year growth in non-interest income, not just on account of the bargain, but also on account of our financial banking services, which we have improved. So this is the short summary of the scorecard. I thought we should leave enough time for questions and answers. So let me then invite questions. I'll turn it over to your professor for questions and answers. Thank you.
And if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Moyana Bonney with SBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first is on your press release. You highlighted that you were restructuring your loan. So if you could elaborate on that. So is are you calling for more collateral or if you could just elaborate on how you're doing that. And also, I suspect that part of that as well, if you could give an update on Atlantic Energy and the other two obligors that you had touched on in the past. And then also if you could talk to whether you had written off any loans over the last three months or over the last 1 year, more or less just taking advantage of the CBN's forbearance window, and then how, in some detail, how you plan to drive down NPLs to below 20%, and what your, shall I say, 2 to 3 year guidance would be on NPLs, and then also on cost of risk as well. I see that you're guiding 6 to 7% for 2017, but over the next 2 to 3 years, what kind of level of cost of risk should we expect?
Thank you. Shola Adedunton, CEO of First Bank. Your first question wasn't very clear, but I think it has to do with how are we restructuring the loans. Again, two-pronged approach. Either we go for remediation or we go for recovery, depending on the nature or the outcome of our analysis. For those for which you can see credible cash flow into the future, they are restructured to align with the revised cash flow. And for some, you go for outright recovery. With regards to the three big names that we referenced, one of them today is reverting shortly into performing. We've restructured that particular facility. It's actually the biggest obligor in our book. We've restructured the facility. We do have the cash flow that will make it to be performing within our control, but in line with the provision of IFRS 39, we need to wait out for a certain period of time to last before we can take it back into performing. With regard to the second exposure, which is equally very material, we are at the tail end of it's an asset realization game, and we are at the tail end of that process. The third one of the big three is the one that you specifically named, which is Atlantic Energy. We are still in ongoing conversation with the political leader. Our rights are continue to be recognized. It's taking longer than we had originally intentioned, but it's an everyday thing that keeps it warm, that ensures that we believe. So again, on Atlantic Energy, we are optimistic. We are optimistic of resolution, but the issue is of timing, which is why it's the only one that what we cannot conclusively say this is when we are going to resolve. In terms of the did we may take advantage of the write-off window opened by the central bank? Yes, we did took advantage of that, and that is obvious from the audited financial statement that we have released into the public. In terms of NPL, we've already guided that we expect that to gradually trend downwards. And if you look at what I've just explained, if the two material ones that I said are on the verge of being resolved, get resolved, then what you will see is a material reduction in the NPL ratio. But over the 2-3 year horizon that you have mentioned, like I said, we expect that to trend gradually downwards.
Can we take the next question, please?
Okay, thank you. Our next question is from Tolu Alamutu with Exotix. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking the questions. My first question is a follow-up from what you just said on NPLs, please. You mentioned that the largest of the problem exposures will potentially be restructured this year. Can you give us some idea of the size of that exposure relative to your loan book and what that restructuring would mean in terms of percentage points for your NPL ratio? Also, can we expect further write-offs from NPLs this year? And again, on NPLs, what sector did the additional NPLs recorded in Q1 come from? I think you had an additional 40 billion naira in NPLs added in the first quarter. Second question is related to loan growth. You're targeting 5 to 10% this year. Could you give us some idea of what sectors you see opportunities in, please? And my final question is on foreign currency liquidity. Can you give us an update on your current status on that in terms of the, especially in terms of public sector deposits which have had to be moved to the CBN? Are there any more deposits that you might need to move? And could First Bank consider coming back to the bond market to issue a senior bond? Thank you.
My name is Segun Alebiosu, Chief Risk Officer of First Bank Nigeria. On the right of advantage that last year, but the amount was not material. Total loan written off last year was 2.5% of the loan book, of which only 35% of that was under the CBN forbearance. In 2017, we will continue to make provisions for loans as they fall, as they fall into default, if any, in line with our prudential requirements. And if necessary, where remediation fails and collection becomes sticky, we will consider write-off as appropriate. On the growth in portfolio, our focus based on our strategy is to do more loans with top-tier corporates, do more of trade business, and expand our retail loan book. As part of our strategy, as explained earlier, we have exposure to middle-tier market and to the oil and gas sector that has contributed to the current NPL position that we're trying to explain through. The sectors for concentration for us will be manufacturing, fast-moving consumer goods, beverages, and general commerce.
And just if I could go back to asset quality for 1 second, any more detail you can give on the large NPL that would be restructured and what percentage of your loan book it is, please?
Yes. The two loans being out of NPL, the two loans represent about 10% Utility loans represent 10% of the loan portfolio. And therefore, we impart NPL materially.
Okay. And the final question, if I may, on foreign currency liquidity, please. Thank you.
I'm the treasurer of the bank. Generally speaking, foreign currency liquidity has been on the back of the increased central bank intervention in the FX markets, which started tail end of Q4 last year. So that allowed us to unwind a lot of our outstanding trade obligations. In addition to that, the bank still has strong market access, so we have been funding bilaterally from a range of counterparts and our correspondent partner banks. With respect to our outstanding Eurobonds, it's clear that we do and will still have an ongoing term funding need. That was one of the key drivers behind our issuance in the first place, so that we could add in some term duration into our liability book. The good thing for us is that the two bonds mature in 2020 and 2021, so it gives us sufficient time to evaluate market conditions. So where there are favorable market conditions and the opportunity exists, we may take a look, but we still have a fair bit of time before it becomes a more compelling or imperative call to make that decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ola Ogunsanya with Run Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on this loan that will be written back as performing in 2017. How much provisions were taken, and are we likely to see any write-back in 2017? And secondly, of the challenged assets that have been classified, how much more do you think we have to go? And I ask this because I'm trying to get a better understanding of how much more pain there is to come and the expected timeline for a complete cleanup of the loan book. Thank you.
Yeah. Provision level is 51% for the loans, and we will see right back in 2017. How much more do we need to take? We will say that as of today, there are few unknowns. So we don't expect spike in provision. However, we will be prudent in line with our corporate governance that we will account for all loans on our books as appropriate. How long? We believe that with what we have done to our risk management that has been strengthened, and that in view of reality in our environment and how we have selected our counterparty with focus on quality at entry, the enhanced risk appetite framework, we believe that NPL will start trending down from 2017, and that by 2019, we will be in single-digit trajectory.
Okay.
Thank you. Follow-up question. So I'm just trying to understand what exactly changed for these names to be classified as performing. Was there a big fundamental change in the operations of the business? What exactly happened there?
Okay. The accounts have been restructured. The cash flow that's required to meet the obligation for the first two quarters of 2017 is already with us as a bank. And we believe that with the business model and the business outlook that they run, that the other two quarters for the year, the cash flow will also be in. And if we look, going by IFRS, we need only two quarters of obligation for an account to be classified back into performing. And these two quarters is what we are observing. When the two quarters expires, the facilities will fall back to performing based on cash flow.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ronak Gadia with Exotics.
Hi, hello gentlemen, and thanks for the presentation and taking the questions. I'll just take you back quickly to the three large loans. I guess that's the main topic of concern this afternoon. Did I hear you correctly when you say that the two of the loans which are expected to normalize this year form about 10% of your loans? Is that correct? And with regards to this loans, can you just share how much provisions you've made on this loans and how much might come back onto your P&L once these loans are reclassified to performing loans? With regard to Atlantic Energy, is it possible to share what are some of the key bottlenecks or sticking points that is preventing this deal from being concluded? And then, again, just staying with the NPL themes, one of the things I've noted over the last year or so is that the NPLs from your UK subsidiary have substantially increased. Now, the view on the UK subsidiary was that it was a very low-risk business, so it's quite surprising to see NPLs increase at such a significant and sustained rate. So can you just share your thoughts on what's driving this and how much further there might be to go? The other question was on new NPL formation. There's been some talk of quite a few high-profile corporates coming under pressure, Etisalat, Seven Energy, etc. Can you share what your exposure is to these companies and whether these loans have been classified as non-performing? Also included within that is, can you also share whether ITO is classified as a non-performing loan and if any provisions have been made on that? And lastly, on your capital, sorry for too many questions. When I look at your capital, the biggest driver for the increase in Tier 1 capital was in 2015, you had classified something called loans to subsidiaries in excess of single obligo limit. You had made a deduction of about 30 billion, and that deduction was taken away in 2016. So can you just share your thoughts on what's going on over there? Thank you.
Okay. Confirm that the two exposures represent the percent of our portfolio. We confirm that they will be right back in 2017 on their accounts. For the FBN UK subsidiary, yes, it's a low-risk subsidiary, but there was an exposure, an agro-commodity exposure in Europe that went bust. And in line with our conservative approach, we took in the provisions to ensure that we free the subsidiary from further legacy loans. Recovery efforts are underway with other lenders, other European lenders, and we believe that will come out perhaps in the course of 2017 also as a write back. We appreciate the fact that the FBN UK operations have been largely low risk and that they have been a trade focused institution which they will continue to be. And what has led to the issue in the European market has led to a review of our risk appetite framework and tolerance limit across obligo counterpart products, services, sectors and geographies. And based on that, we are confident that going forward, we may not see such shock or surprise coming out of the UK subsidiary.
As an addition to the issues on the FBN UK, during the course of 2016, we also appointed a new CEO. We have we are appointing a new executive director in charge of business development, joining us from one of the top investment banks, again, part of taking care of not just the credit origination, but ensuring that the entire franchise risk and the governance is strengthened. Like the CRO rightly mentioned, we have also strengthened the entire credit framework and the credit governance structure surrounding not just FBN UK, but the entire operating subsidiaries of First Bank outside of Nigeria. So we do not expect this kind of escalated NPL going forward.
And this is Patrick. To your question about capital, increase noted. There are three drivers of the improvement in capital, and you noted one of them. Anyway, the first of them had to do with the profit book during the period. About 30 billion in improvement in shareholder funds translates to approximately 1% in CAR for us. Of the 50 billion profit booked during the year, 30 billion was recognized for capital adequacy ratio, and that improved CAR by 1%. You spoke earlier on about the regulatory bit around the SOL, yes, which frankly underestimated CAR by approximately 1% in prior year, and that has now been released to us, and so that boosted CAR as well. And then the third bit had to do with reduction in RWA. I mean, as you can imagine, the impairment charges we recorded also resulted in reduced RWA, and approximately 150 billion in RWA translated to about 1% CAR. So if you just do the math there, you can see how CAR has improved from what it was as of 2015 to what it is now.
Okay, thank you. And just as a follow-up, I mean, we keep going back to the three big loans. Could you quantify the level of write-backs you might get from those three loans? And also on Atlantic Energy, I don't think you touched on what the key sticking points there are on why that loan is not being finalized or why that deal is not being finalized.
Let me take the question on Atlantic Energy. The reality of the assets involved under that particular transaction is, I mean, simply put, these are a group of highly prolific assets. So it does, the ownership of that asset has significant political implications. So it's not just the commercial transaction. There are also underlying political considerations that goes into play when you are dealing with assets of this nature. So basically, we're just working through the process. And like I said, our rights continue to be recognized.
Okay.
We'll take our next question from Tony Afoya. Please go ahead. And caller, your line is open. Please check your mute function. Please check your mute function, caller. Your line is open. And we'll take our next question from Oyinke Ogunbamil. Please go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon. I'd like to find out what's responsible for the spike in the NPL ratio from 24.4% full year 2016 to Q1 2017. And also, you mentioned that there are some unknown sectors that might even further increase the NPL. So can you tell us what sectors these might be? Thank you.
Permit me to correct the statement you made. We said there are few unknowns in the books. We did not say we have more to go. Now, the spike in NPL in the first quarter relates to legacy loan in our FBN UK subsidiary. We decided to review the entire portfolio following the issue that happened in late December. And considering what we saw, we decided to be prudent and to take in all the provisions that we need to do first quarter. in line with our decision to be decisive with NPL. As we join 2017, we have indicated our guidance, our cost of risk guidance as between 6 to 7. Implicit in that is that we decided as an institution to remain prudent and to raise ahead of IFRS 9 in such a way that there will be little surprise to the market even in years ahead.
As a reminder, that is star 1 for questions. We'll pause for just a moment. And we do have a question from Tony Afoya with Private Investor. Please go ahead. And caller, your line is open. Please check your mute function. We'll take our next question from Lanray Beluro with Chapel Hill Denham. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Currently, NPLs and loans continue to be an issue. Based on what we see in Q1, we seem to be on the sub-100 billion impairment. Seeing what the competitor did, particularly ETI in particular, the private AMCON, and I'm wondering if it's something you might want to try to strip out these legacy issues in the loan book and try and resolve it as a special purpose vehicle. If that's, in your thought process, to let us know and kind of walk us through how you might end up resolving this issue. Another sticking point, I mean, you talked about being a transactional-driven bank. Your Q1, the current fees revenue seems to be down substantially. Can you explain what happened and, what kind of guidance you see for the rest of the year? And just clarity about, does it count for 10% of your NPL or 10% of the book? And given the multiple FX windows we have, the new FX window that came out last week, what's your guidance for FX trading income? I mean, you guys are one of the biggest businesses when it comes to. How do you see the market this year, and how do you see that business? Thank you.
I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to ask you a question. Very audible. Don't mind, can you repeat the question about the time around, please? I think there are about 3 or 4 questions, but get it very clearly. Thank you. Hello?
And it does look like that questioner disconnected. One moment.
Okay,
we'll take our next question from Victor Chiesor with Capital Bancor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, thank you guys for the presentation. I have just a couple of questions. First of all, the question regarding the total, the expectation of the write back we are expecting in 2017 from all the non-performing loans which you might be classified in 2017. We didn't get your answer regarding that. And second question regarding your non-performing loan coverage. For full year, your coverage was 57.3 as against 40.2. I wanted to know what guided your decision to provide 57.3 as against 40. Because if you take out your statutory results from your provisioning, your NPL coverage drops about 38.8%. So I'd like to know, going forward, are you going to be taking it higher to probably 60, 70? Or it might go lower in terms of your NPL coverage, and to know how that will affect your bottom line. Third question is regarding performance. From your expectation, expect NPLs to hit single digits in 2019. So can we, is it safe for us to say that we don't expect the banking, the bank, FBNH itself, the banking arm of the business to pay dividends? We're only expecting dividends from the other subsidiaries. Thank you. These are my questions.
Okay, let me quickly take the question on the commercial bank upstreaming dividend to the holding company. The answer is yes. We do not expect upstreaming of dividend from the commercial bank at this time until business normalizes. And because of our decision over the last 2 years, you notice federal build-up of the capital, and today we are very comfortably above the regulatory threshold of 15%. Indeed, we are over 18% for Q1. So that trend will continue. We need to also allow the commercial banks to assume onto the growth path again. So beyond just meeting regulatory, also need a buffer to drive business growth. Fortunately for us, as I mentioned in the presentation, other non-commercial banks or president entities have stepped up to the end. And can I request your presence to say this out for those that are not active to mute their phones, please? Okay, thank you very much.
I didn't get that. Hello.
And we'll take our next question from Ndebusi Obake with Stanbic IBTC Pensions. And caller, your line is open.
Hi. Okay, I have two questions. So my first question is as regards your capital position. Do you still want to maintain the strategy of creating capital buffers by investing your earnings, or would you reconsider the other approach of coming to the market? That's first one. Then my second question is the recent downgrade of your credit rating to BB by Fitch. What impact do you think that will have on your ability to raise funds, especially bilateral funds outside? And given that the two issues they are mentioned mostly were your capital ratios and your asset quality, do you think you are going to see any improvement that would probably lead to an upward review of this credit rating? Or are you not bothered by that?
Okay.
Okay, again, let me just conclude on the capital question. And your point is, should we continue with the strategy of profit retention, or we should go to the market to raise capital? You would agree that the market conditions are not conducive for fresh capital raise, and that would be diluted to the current shareholders if we attempted to raise capital from the market. And I think the right strategy would be, for as long as the other operating entities are able to upstream dividends and satisfy the shareholders, then allow the crown jewel to restart their business after the law in 2016-2015. I think it's better to organically grow your capital. It's cheaper for us, it's more efficient for us, and also in terms of timing, it's going to take a longer time to complete the processes. So we believe we are taking the right decision for the benefit of shareholders. Patrick will take the other question you raised.
So thank you, UK. And just to round out on the capital discussion, I mean, if we think about the bank, at 18.1%, that's a pretty good, great place to be at. 16% is the minimum we aspire for. 17% is the target we work towards. We are at least 100 basis points over that target. And we believe as we continue to grow the business and accrete profit, CAR would improve. So the issue of a capital raise for capital buffer purposes is not an immediate consideration. Now, to the point about the downgrade to BB, of course, it's important to us, and it's something we're looking at pretty closely. And you mentioned clearly and quite correctly that a key reason for that downgrade was our capital position. At the current CAR, about 18.1%, or given where our CAR is, and if you look in other considerations around the strength of our balance sheet, liquidity ratio, cost to income, and the pre-provision operating profit, the rate at which we are creating profit, and our ability to take in all these impairments without hitting reserves, there's clearly a compelling reason for a risk re-rating, and that's what we would strive to do.
Next question.
We'll take our next question from Lanre Baluro with Chapel Hill Benham. Please go ahead.
Sorry, just to repeat my questions. I was mentioning about a bank in the sector, actually created some form of a private sector, AMCON, where it carved out these legacy loan issues and took full impairments and decided to resolve it outside of its balance sheet. So I was hoping that that's something you might be looking to do. My other question was around your e-business. It's materially down. I mean, down almost 30% year over year. And if I remember correctly, in your prior calls, you said you want the bank to be more transactional based. E-business is something you've been touting, and it's down 30%. Can you explain what happened during the quarter and also what you expect for the year? On the FX trading income, so what do you, what's your guidance for the full year, given the windows and what the CBN has been doing in regards to FX intervention?
Okay. On the private sector, AMCON being implemented by a competitor in the industry, we might not go that route, but we will implement our own resolution strategy within the bank. That is important because we need to take the right back to our books. We need to benefit from recovery based on the provisions we've taken in the past that the shareholders of the bank will also want back. Considering those options, we resolve to have our own internal AMCON within the institution.
I guess the key point there really is that there are several resolution pathways I've opted to do an internal bad debt resolution framework, which is what we're executing, and we think that plays better to our own business strategy and philosophy.
Okay, and to the other question about transactional income, I'm deep in. I think the two key areas you would have noticed that would have been, one, the money we make off our cards used abroad, and that was quite a sizable income line. And then the second half would have to do with trade-related type transactions. In both instances, FX liquidity and the CBN regulations around and the impact on the attractiveness of card business offshore last year were the key drivers for the dip on those two income lines. However, as you would notice, we made up for that significantly around our e-business space. And we are seeing quite some traction there. And the discussion was made earlier, the point was made earlier on about the ramp up in the business along that line. We also made up for that partly through funds transfers as well. Going into 2017, well, we plan to aggressively ramp up transactional capabilities around e-business, and we're also aggressively pushing into transaction banking space, specifically the cash management propositions and then trade. The improving FX liquidity position especially position us to bounce back on those income streams. So I guess in summary, the business plan and the strategic thrust around growing transactional income sources is very much on track.
And we'll take our next question from Rona Gadia with Exotix. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, just as a follow-up, one of the questions I asked earlier about the exposure the bank has to some of these struggling corporates in Nigeria, Etisalat, Eric Air, Seven Energy. Do you have any exposure to this loan, to this corporate? And if so, what's the status of this loan? Have they been classified as non-performing, or will that happen during the year?
As First Bank, we are not exposed to Eric.
Okay.
On Etisalat. On Etisalat. A consortium of lenders are being guided by the regulators, I mean, on the banking side and on the telecom side, towards a resolution that we believe that will work for both parties. Etisalat, as you know, generates about 20 billion naira monthly and with infrastructure across the country. So with resolution of the ownership issues, which currently they are currently meeting in London to resolve the same, we are positive that Etisalat will be restructured as being guided by regulators and that the loan will be repaid. For us, our exposure is about 1.25% of our portfolio. And so it's not material for us. It's what we can write off if need required.
Okay. And the last one? Seven Energy?
Seven Energy. We're exposed to Seven Energy. But Seven Energy account, as of now, is not classified.
Okay.
Because transaction has been, the pipelines have been built, gas stock is in place. What is affecting it is the political environment and not capacity. Two, the company is in the process of converting its exposure to Naira to ensure that currency risks are mitigated, all being guided by the industry leaders. We believe that at conversion, currency risk mitigated, cash flow will be restored because the assets are built and the framework that they have in place really works.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Our final question will come from Victor Chesor with Capital Bancorp. Please go ahead.
Good day. This is a follow-up question. I just wanted to know, from your presentation, you stated there that you have about 51% of your loans are foreign currency loans, as against 50.9%. So I wanted to know, what are your plans towards hedging your exposures in that area, assuming things actually start to go as bad as they were in 2015? And my second question is, I didn't get the answer last time. The current provision is at 58.8% at Q1 2017.
The first one, foreign currency loans, about 51% of our portfolio and trending downwards. But 88% of our foreign currency loans are supported by foreign currency revenue, so we don't have currency risk. The remaining 12% actually relates to the first question said foreign currency loans, 88%
okay.
of our foreign book is supported by foreign currency cash flows. The other 12%, many of them belong to electricity generation company, not distribution companies, that paid foreign currency to acquire the assets. As we speak, the loans are being converted to local currency. Yeah, it's true that 51% of our loan book is in foreign currency. It's also true that 88% of our foreign currency loan book has foreign currency cash flows. The balance 12%, majority of which are power generation companies that paid for their licenses in foreign currency and are currently undergoing the process of converting their loans to Naira to match match cash flow and exposure. So we believe that in the course of 2017, based on FX forwards that they're about to secure, that the balance 12% will be converted to local currency and the gap will no longer exist. On the NPL coverage ratio, we've moved from 40% 2015 to 58.1% now. And from our NPL provision of first quarter, implicit in that is that we are decisive on NPL and we will build up our coverage to an appreciable level in 2017.
Okay, next question, please.
There are currently no questions at this time. I would like to hand the call back over to Mr. UKAK for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me thank those that called in for their participation and for their continuing interest in the SBN Holdings story. Clearly, we are not unmindful of the challenges we currently face as an institution and also the uncertainties in the market. But we do believe from the numbers we've shown, full year and first quarter, that we have clearly bounced back, and as we said in our presentation, we remain a very resilient brand. We do think that this year, we are quite optimistic that this year will be a lot better than last year, and we look forward to hosting the half year call around about July. So thank you very much.